even doing more things that were being done in a governmental level. Of course, you need to be a big player because small companies might not be able to have the economic freedom to do so. But it made me feel more optimistic to see that there are really companies are moving faster than governments now. And maybe that will also make a change.
I'm not so optimistic in other countries. As I see, for example, the government of the UK is now opening up all sorts of the North Sea for more oil and gas drilling, saying that they want to max out production there. So it's a seesaw battle, Suzanne. We're making some progress in some places and then losing in others. From the University of Copenhagen, we've been speaking with Professor Suzanne Ditlevsen, co-author of the new paper, Warning of a Forthcoming Collapse of the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. You can find links to follow up in my show blog, published Wednesdays at ecoshock.org. Suzanne, thank you for helping us understand this hidden work of the ocean.
I've been happy to be here.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.
This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
What will happen when AMOC collapses? As you heard from Suzanne Ditlevsen, it is difficult to predict what will happen if it changes to a very weak state and moves southward. We cannot rely on data from previous AMOC shifts during the ice ages because humans are now warming the world at a never-before-seen pace. All of this combines into something very different and very new. That is not good news for an ecological system that depends on certain conditions on land and in the sea. Let's take the UK, for example. If you just look at IPCC projections and other models, it looks like the UK would be a good place to survive global warming, at least in the first century. By 2080, southern Britain would be hotter and likely experience periodic droughts. Scotland would be warmer, but that might feel good. The Scottish Highlands would get wetter. As James Lovelock pointed out, the sea around the UK would help protect it from temperature extremes that develop over land masses like Russia and China and North America. Lovely. But if the AMOC shuts down, things don't go so well. Many sources suggest the average UK temperatures would drop by 3.4 degrees C, about 6 degrees Fahrenheit. Other experts suggest it could be even colder, up to 5 degrees C average temperature drop. A 2021 report by the OECD says Europe and North America would experience a drop of 3 degrees to 8 degrees C and 1 degree to 3 degrees C, respectively. So that's 3 to 8 in Europe and 1 to 3 drop in North America. In the southern hemisphere, there is little predicted temperature change, but strong disruptions to precipitation patterns in the tropics. Winter would be much colder in northern Europe. We can barely imagine that, while the rest of the world suffers through long-lasting heat waves. But wait a minute. It could be the rain, not the cold. The real blow for the UK after AMOC collapse may not be temperature, but changing rain. Dr. Paul Ritchie and his co-authors studied this for their 2020 paper called Shifts in National Land Use and Food Production in Great Britain After a Climate Tipping Point. They say, quote, "We show that economic and land use impacts of such a tipping point are likely to include widespread cessation of arable farming, with losses of agricultural output that are an order of magnitude larger than the impacts of climate change without an AMOC collapse," end quote. In fact, Ritchie and his colleagues found that the amount of arable land in the UK would drop from the current 42% to around 7%. That is disaster, and an end to any dreams of the UK having the security of its own food. The authors say that 7% number could be boosted higher, we don't know how much higher, by irrigation, but there are limits to the amount of irrigation water available. So the AMOC collapse is as much about changes in precipitation as temperature. The media leaves this out. One major institution took a stab at predicting impacts of an AMOC collapse. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, is composed of 37 democracies. In 2021, the OECD published a report called Climate Tipping Points. That study found rainfall over Siberia would fall so low that boreal forests would convert to savanna grasslands or bush. Meanwhile, the extra water vapor in the atmosphere due to heating would fall heavily on the Canadian boreal forest. Scientists worry the AMOC collapse impacts on precipitation patterns could change water distribution in the atmosphere over the whole planet. For example, after AMOC collapse, the speed of Amazon conversion from forests that are full of carbon to grass and shrubs might go faster. The memory in human civilization, it's only so long, it's never experienced this new state of the ocean. We just don't know what could happen. The OECD report says, quote, "In addition, this work further identifies the West Antarctic and Greenland ice sheets as initiators of tipping cascades, and the AMOC as the mediator transmitting cascades," end quote. But the AMOC collapse can be a disaster for monsoons and food in the tropics as well. Let's look at this. The OED says, quote, "Monsoon systems are also likely to be affected by a potential collapse or slowdown of the AMOC. Analysis by the OECD in 2021 finds that West Africa will experience the largest decrease in rainfall on the planet under global warming scenarios. The shutdown of the AMOC will exacerbate this effect, disrupting the African monsoon and leading to a further reduction in precipitation that can, in turn, cause widespread drought over much of the region. A collapse of the AMOC would also lead to the weakening of the Indian summer monsoon, which could lead to more frequent droughts with potentially detrimental impacts on Indian farmers' rice harvests," end quote from OECD. Here's a clip from a presentation by the German oceanographer Stefan Ramsdorf, who I really admire. It was recorded at the University of Exeter in November 2022.
And it turns out that that cooling area south of Greenland is, of course, part of a slowdown of the Atlantic overturning, but also the excessive warming along the American coast, inshore of the Gulf Stream, is a result of a slowdown of the overturning circulation. There is some fluid dynamics behind this, which is going too far to explain here, but it's well established theoretically. Now, my PhD student, Levke Cesar, back then has spent a couple of years compiling observations of sea surface temperature, and this graph here shows the trend since the year 1900. And you can see this peculiar fingerprint pattern with the cold blob south of Greenland and that warming along the American coast. It's just fuzzy because we don't have ocean observations everywhere at all times, obviously, so it can't be shown in as high a resolution, but I think you will agree that the pattern agrees, and we know it's a fingerprint of an AMOC slowdown. And when we calibrated this with the help of the model, we find that this corresponds to about 15% weakening of that overturning circulation, mostly since about 1950. We can also look further back in time using proxy data from sediment cores and ice cores, etc. And recently we compiled, last year actually, a paper showing the reconstructions by paleoclimate studies in the published literature for the AMOC. And this shows the last 1,500 years or so, if you look at the left column there. And you can see that mostly the AMOC has been stable until the 20th century. It shows an unprecedented decline. And so that's why we concluded that the Atlantic overturning is at its weakest in the last millennium. And a couple of weeks ago, I was at the International Conference on Paleoceanography, where I saw some as yet unpublished proxy data saying this, going back even much further in time, and it's probably at its weakest since the entire Holocene by now. Now, the AMOC is weakening, but we also know already since 1961, since the work of Henry Stommel, that it has a tipping point. It's very well established by now. As a postdoc in the 90s, I showed this behavior in a 3D ocean GCM, and The circulation is sensitive to adding fresh water because it inhibits the sinking by making the water less dense. And so if you add fresh water like melting Greenland ice or increased rainfall, you move on the towards the right in this diagram from the present climate point, and eventually you hit a cliff there where there is no more stable state, and it falls into to the bottom of the diagram into a completely different new collapsed state. So just to sum up my key points here, the conclusions are that the AMOC is weakening. Personally, I think there's very strong evidence for that now that it's unprecedented in at least a millennium. We know that the AMOC has a tipping point, very well-established physics, the positive feedback, salt advection is understood. But the big uncertainty is how far away is this tipping point? And recent studies have unfortunately shown maybe too close for comfort.
Recently, Ramsdorf says he had to revise his thinking on how soon an AMOC state change could arrive. Along with the IPCC, he had been thinking the collapse is very unlikely to arrive during this century. But due to at least three new studies, Ramsdorf changed his mind. He now agrees that, on our current high emissions path, this vital ocean circulation system could fall apart during the next decades. He revised his position post at realclimate.org. Find that link in my blog at ecoshock.org. Here he addresses the new paper on the BBC, July 26, 2023.
This is Rebecca Kesby with NewsHour live from the BBC. Now, the Atlantic Ocean system that brings warm water from the tropics into the North Atlantic could collapse much sooner than previously predicted. That's according to a study by Danish scientists just published in the journal Nature Communications. Their new analysis estimates a timescale for the collapse between 2025 and 2095, with a central estimate of 2050 if global carbon emissions are not reduced. We're talking about something called the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or AMOC for short, and it's known to have a huge effect on the climate in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, full disclosure on this, there is some controversy around this particular report, because although most climate scientists do warn of a potential tipping point or collapse of the AMOC system, there is a disagreement over when it could happen. It's important, this, because when it happens, the impact could obviously potentially be very damaging for humans. So let's try and get some clarity.
A tipping point generally is a point where a system will develop into a very different state without being pushed further. It's the point from where it happens by itself, like if you push your coffee cup towards the edge of the desk, and then there is a tipping point from then onwards, you don't have to push anymore. Something really changes, it crashes down. With the AMOC, it would wind down in a matter of decades, probably, once the tipping point is passed, and that would have major impacts on the surface temperature. First of all, regions, I mean, it's already slowing down, and that already has a big impact, because that region to the west of Great Britain, the British Isles, is the only part of the world that has actually cooled in the last 100 years, while the rest of the planet has warmed. That's what we call the cold blob. If the AMOC really winds down altogether, that would expand and actually cover Britain, Iceland, Scandinavia, which then could cool down in amidst a much warmer world. But there would be many other consequences for extra sea level rise, marine ecosystems being really threatened, CO2 uptake by the ocean declining, and so on.
Okay, I mean, the sort of frightening element of this is that when you talk about cooling, potentially that cooling could be very much lower, couldn't it? I mean, some people talk about something similar to what happened in the Ice Age. Is that true?
That is actually quite exaggerated, because we are in a world with elevated carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere now. So those very cold numbers, they come from experiments where in pre-industrial climate, you close down the AMOC. If you do it in an already much warmer world, it won't get that cold. But the key thing is that, you know, you get cold patch surrounding by exceptionally warm regions of the Earth that changes really the whole dynamics of the weather systems. There will probably be a lot more storms hitting the UK and so on.
Right. The UN's climate change body, the IPCC, says it's very unlikely to happen this century. What's your view on that? Is that still the thinking?
That was my view until a few years ago, but you have to know that in the IPCC jargon, very unlikely means less than 10%. And we are talking about a planetary scale disaster that we really want to avoid at 99.9% certainty. So even saying there is up to 10% risk for this is, in my view, really scary. But now we can say the IPCC conclusion resulted on climate models, doing, you know, the standard models, making projections for the future. And there, in most cases, the AMOC does not collapse in this century. But there is mounting evidence, and it has been actually for quite a while, that these models have an AMOC that is far too stable compared to what we can conclude from observational data. And these new studies, there are at least three studies now, the new one is the third, have used observational data to look for precursors of a potential tipping point. And these studies come to the conclusion that it is actually probably much closer, probably in this century, but still with a big uncertainty attached to that.
The key point of all of this, though, is that the tipping point is, as you've explained, the point where you can't go backwards. It's just going to happen no matter what you do.
That's right. And we should really minimize that risk. I think it's a very serious risk.
Professor Stephen Rahmstorf speaking to us earlier.
It's time to sort out the facts from the myths about AMOC. First of all, as Sabine Hossfelder says in her YouTube video, the Gulf Stream is not going to stop.
When the overturning circulation stops, then the Gulf Stream will no longer get this extra push to the north. This would mean that Europe will cool down. Simulations with climate models have shown that the average temperatures in Europe could go down by as much as 5 degrees. So that's the thing that everyone is worried about, that the AMOC will stop. However, this would not mean that the Gulf Stream would stop. The Gulf Stream is caused by the rotation of the Earth. The only way to stop the Gulf Stream is quite literally to stop the Earth from turning.
With that out of the way, we must also look at the fact that AMOC is not the Gulf Stream, and vice versa. This comes from a massive confusion about names and how the system works. Because so many people have heard of the Gulf Stream, the media and a few scientists talk as though the Gulf Stream and AMOC are the same thing. They are not. But it is not easy to say what they are. I mean, people in Scotland are still calling the Atlantic Current the Gulf Stream, even though the Gulf Stream technically ends when it mixes into the northern waters around Labrador and up the sides of Greenland. As I understand it, the Gulf Stream does operate to move heat and water from the tropics to the pole. No doubt it is part of the global ocean system called the Great Conveyor Belt. Now look, when you sail east from the United States, I'm a sailing fan, say from Virginia heading toward the Caribbean. Not far out to sea it is difficult to sail south. Ships encounter a steady flow of water running up to 5 nautical miles per hour going north. In a small boat that only goes 5 knots, you would stay in the same place with the engine running full power. Eventually, further east, you are out of the Gulf Stream, and you can more easily sail south. The AMOC is not one current like that, not something you can identify. It is a distributed system with a lot of different subcurrents curling around in the ocean, but it has a known general direction to the overall flow. But AMOC is more than just a flow of water. Being an overturning circulation, ocean water becomes heavier with salt in the north and sinks to the bottom. From there, it flows in a countercurrent around 2,000 meters down, say 6,000 feet below the surface. That cold bottom water goes all the way down to Antarctica. AMOC is part of the pump that keeps seawater circulating between the poles. So that is AMOC myth number one. It is not the same as the Gulf Stream. While AMOC can shift to a very weak state, called an off state by experts, the Gulf Stream is driven by other factors, including the rotation of the Earth, and will not stop even during rapid climate change. At least, that's what we think so far. Number two, Europe will not experience another ice age in 2 years. For crying out loud, people get a lot of clicks, YouTube views, and re-Xs, I guess that's what you call it now, by picking the worst possible outcome and exaggerating that. The UK may get bad winter storms, like the amazing snow dump of 1952. Look that one up. But again, snowstorms point to warmer weather, not extreme cold. When the air is really cold, like minus 30 or 40 on either temperature scale, that cannot hold much water vapor. Heavy snow is less likely during extreme cold. Every northern Canadian grew up with the phrase, "It's too cold to snow." Real temperature is what matters. In a generally warming world, the worst predicted is around 5 degrees C average cooling in the UK, with 2 or 3 degrees cooling more likely. The coldest days would be colder. Leaving changes in precipitation aside, just that much cooling will rearrange wild plant and animal survival in the United Kingdom and Ireland, and the instability could wipe out crops in some seasons. A lot of buildings in the UK are just not ready for a colder climate, being poorly insulated. Energy bills would go up, driving even more warming in the rest of the world. Stefan Ramsdorf suggests after the AMOC tipping point is passed, and we don't know exactly when that will be, it might take 2 or 3 decades to fully extend the impacts to cool the UK and North Europe as much as it can, not to mention the harsh impacts on coastal Norway. But then, perhaps a century or two later, continued warming of the planet, if that happens, would overcome the AMOC collapse cooling. Dear old London would begin to warm again, long after the country has been completely rearranged by the ocean current collapse. Nobody with any expertise in climate science believes the UK will become anything like the Ice Age. Manchester will not be covered by a glacier a mile thick. Myth number three, is AMOC or the Gulf Stream keeping the UK and Europe warm? Well, the jury's still out on this one. It's still being debated by some scientists. Is it really the AMOC or the Gulf Stream that makes the UK and Europe warmer than their latitude would suggest? Almost everyone, including many top scientists, say yes, yes it is. But maybe not. This dispute is important because, if true, Northern Europe may not be so heavily impacted by an AMOC shutdown. So Richard Seeger is a climate scientist at Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. He was educated in the UK. He is a professor of ocean and climate physics at Columbia University. Seeger is definitely not a fringe climate denier. He's a real scientist. But Professor Seeger says the UK and North Europe are warmer than expected for their latitude, not because of the Gulf Stream or any ocean current. Here is his explanation, and I quote, "Using observations and climate models, we found that at the latitudes of Europe, the atmospheric heat transport exceeds that of the ocean by several fold. In winter, it may even be by an order of magnitude greater. Thus, it is the atmosphere, not the ocean, that does the lion's share of the work ameliorating winter climates in the extratropics. We also found that the seasonal absorption and release of heat by the ocean has a much larger impact on regional climates than does the movement of heat by ocean currents. Seasonal storage and release accounts for half the winter temperature difference across the North Atlantic Ocean, but the 500-pound gorilla in how regional climates are determined around the Atlantic turned out to be the Rocky Mountains. Because of the need to conserve angular momentum, as air flows from the west across the mountains, it is forced to first turn south and then to turn north further downstream. As such, the mountains force cold air south into eastern North America and warm air north into western Europe. This waviness in the flow is responsible for the other half of the temperature difference across the North Atlantic Ocean." End quote. saying ocean transport contributes to small warming across the basin, Richard Seeger suggests a slowdown of the Gulf Stream would, quote, introduce a modest cooling tendency. If true, that would be great news for our UK listeners, but it does not address really an increase in storminess and storm strength or the large drop in precipitation for European agriculture and other global impacts. Seeger has published several papers in support of his insistence that atmospheric changes dominate over ocean current influences like AMOC. He does not say the UK and North Europe will not cool, just not as much as predicted by ocean modelers. It shows the level of uncertainty about what will really happen when the AMOC goes into its off state. Personally, I think the OECD scientists were well aware of atmospheric science and probably took these factors raised by Seeger into account and still found dangerous cooling for Europe in the waters ahead. Final myth here, the AMOC operates alone. No, it doesn't. Scientists have tended to treat AMOC as a separate system of the ocean. I raised this with Suzanne Ditlefsen in our interview. We know AMOC is one end of a huge system of ocean water running from pole to pole. The Southern Ocean overturning circulation is the other end. As we learned in my April 2023 interview with Australia's Dr. Matthew England, the southern pump is failing too. He told us the surface to deep water exchange there has already tipped. As Western media gorged itself on Donald Trump news, climate activist Bill McKibben said this Southern Ocean change is the biggest story on the planet. And I agree. You can download my interview with lead author Dr. England free at ecoshock.org. We understand why some of the best European scientists, including in the UK, are working hard on what could happen to AMOC. They examine every influence, all the satellite data, every report from the past, whatever we can glean. But as Ditlefsen said, they do not appear to add in the weakened pump at the other end of the system, into Antarctica and the Southern Ocean. We need a whole world approach. Weakened overturning in the Southern Ocean could be an added significant reason why the AMOC has already dropped by at least 15%. How big a factor is it? Will that drive a state shift in AMOC even sooner? We all need to know. I hope to see published research on this question. Wrapping up, remember the AMOC collapsing by 2025 is a rare possibility, according to the authors of the study. It's at the bottom end of a 75-year bracket of possible timing. The date of this doom-like, huge-scale ocean shift is also determined by the rate humans continue to dump carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. A miracle of climate action might stall the AMOC shift by a century or two. Who knows? Maybe that would be enough time to find a solution. Personally, I don't see any signs of that miracle. We are going in reverse, funding new oil and gas and coal, burning more than ever while slashing down those forests. You all know the bad news. My guess, for what it is worth, anyone under the age of 40 has a good chance of being alive to witness the biggest shift since civilization began. And that is the Atlantic meridional overturning circulation will collapse into its alternate weak state. Then we enter the find-out phase. From what we can see dimly, we are producing a time of trials, dragging the rest of living things along with us. Next week on Radio EcoShock, something lighter, well, sort of, we revisit the eternal question, is it too late? This 2009 radio special of mine is called Enjoy Yourself, It's Later Than You Think. It has clips from James Lovelock, Derek Jensen, James Hansen, and many more, and it includes a few tunes. Listen in. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for hanging out in this changing current and caring about our world.
You work and work for years and years, you're always on the go. You never take a minute off, too busy making dough.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink.
go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.